Many years ago, when I joined the disability sector, I asked, how can I serve people with special needs? And little did I know that I would be the one richly blessed by them. My name is Win Pin, and I lead the Koinonia Inclusion Network, or as we prefer to say, KIN. KIN came about as the product of a lot of prayer and reflection. We knew that the gospel welcomed all repentant sinners, and that included people with special needs. And we also knew that God gifted all believers with gifts to serve the church, and that also included those with special needs. So the question for us was, how could we enable churches? How could we strengthen them by helping them include people with disabilities? As we looked around, we saw that God was already moving in Singapore. God was raising up disability ministries, one after another. But at the same time, we saw that many ministries were under-resourced and could benefit from partnerships. And that is why we formed KIN, to partner with churches to enable them by helping them include people with disabilities. God led KIN to three pillars of ministry: training, resourcing, and missions. In training, we partnered with Scripture Union Singapore to launch the Certificate of Christian Disability Ministry. This is a comprehensive course that aims to raise up a new generation of disability ministry leaders for Singapore. For resourcing, we established the Center for Disability Ministry in Asia in collaboration with a local seminary, BGST. The center aims to produce ministry materials for an Asian context that will help our churches undertake effective disability ministry. And finally, in missions, we live out our conviction that persons with special needs should also be actively engaged with missions. And so we partner with missionaries who are interested in innovative ministry approaches that include people with disabilities. The journey of inclusion for churches in Singapore and in Asia has already begun. God has an exciting plan for all of us to walk alongside our brothers and sisters with special needs. Will you join us on this journey? My warm greetings to you, my brothers and sisters from BEFC. I'm very thankful to be with you today, preaching during your Missions Month. Let me first express my gratefulness to Reverend Dr. Desmond Soh and the leadership of BEFC, not only for your generous invitation to preach, but also for your strong conviction for God's redemptive mission that also includes people with disabilities. Indeed, the Bible declares God's loving desire to draw all peoples to Himself. So in light of this, let us now go together in prayer to our God who welcomes all. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your great and generous heart. We know that before we even had a thought about inclusion, you were the one who first included us through the precious work of Jesus upon the cross. Therefore, as we come to your word to think about inclusion, to think about missions, we ask that you help our hearts listen carefully so that our hearts can beat in time with yours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Why inclusion? Why inclusion? Whenever I teach about people with disabilities in churches, that is the question that people always ask me. Why should we include people with disabilities? This question of inclusion is intimately related to our motivation for missions, to the question of why we do missions. Because missions, properly understood, is not just about bringing the gospel overseas. Missions also includes reaching out to those in our communities who are on the margins. So while we might be tempted
to think that missions is being like Paul crossing sea and land to spread the gospel, we must also remember that missions is being like Jesus, who reached out daily to the last, the lost, and the least in society. And that is why in this Missions Month, where the theme is motivation for missions, I want to address the question of why we include people with disabilities in our church communities. Missions is not just done in Missions Month. Missions is very much about what we do every Sunday when we gather as the people of God. Churches are missional not just because they send out missionaries, but because they live out loud the love of the Lord every time they gather. Missional churches are inclusive churches that reflect the Father's welcoming heart. Missional churches recognize that God designed His church to be a place of welcome, a place of inclusion, a place of shalom. Missional churches have an inclusive DNA through and through. And so today, by reflecting on the question of why we include people with disabilities, I want to help us think about the church that God wants us to be. I want to help us reflect about God's design for the church. Because Scripture teaches us that when we accept God's call for us to be inclusive communities, we are on the way to becoming missional churches. That is why I want to answer the question, why inclusion? I would like to answer that question from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 26. Let us begin by first looking at verses 1 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the Spirit, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So Paul begins these verses by telling us the topic of his discussion. He says in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts are the theme of our passage today. In fact, chapter 12 is part of a larger discussion spanning across from chapters 12 to 14, focusing on how spiritual gifts should be used in love. You see, Paul faced a problem with the Corinthian church. Some people in the congregation claimed that being able to speak in tongues made them more spiritual than their fellow Christians. And this is because they thought that speaking in tongues meant that they were speaking in the tongues of angels. It was a form of angelic speech. And therefore, being able to speak in tongues meant that they were better than others. They were more spiritual than others. That is why Paul rebukes them later in 1 Corinthians 13, in that famous passage about love, when he says that speaking in tongues without love is nothing. But in our current passage in chapter 12, Paul replies to them by first asserting that all believers are equally spiritual. He says this in verse 3, that a person can only say that Jesus is Lord by the Holy Spirit. In other words, anyone who can declare their faith in God does so because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just working in those who can speak in tongues. No. The Holy Spirit works in every believer, in everyone who places their faith in Jesus as Lord. And to elaborate on this further, Paul then starts talking in verses 4 to 11 about how the same Spirit, Lord and God, is behind every single kind of spiritual gift. Notice, for example, how the word varieties is repeated again and again in verses 4 to 6. But at the same time, the word same is also repeated again and again. There are varieties of gifts, services, activities, but behind all of this variety is the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. So whether your gift is uttering wisdom, healing, or speaking tongues, behind all these is the one and the same Spirit who gives as He chooses. No one is more spiritual than another. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, what does this have to do with including people with disabilities? Well, it has everything to do with disability. The very word disability tells us that when we look at people with disabilities, we look at them as though that there is something missing, as though they have something that we do not value. So the question we must ask ourselves is, have we, the church, perhaps made the same mistake as the Corinthians? While we might not prize speaking in tongues like the Corinthians, we do value some gifts more than others. For example, the ability to lead worship, to teach, and to govern the church. But because people with disabilities often find it difficult to partake in those acts, we unconsciously see them as less valuable than so-called able-bodied people. And when we do that, we overlook the gifts that God has given to them. Last year, I was deeply saddened to find out that one of my brothers in Christ had passed away. To the world, this brother probably just looked like a person who was blind, who had many health problems, who had challenges holding down a job. But to me, he was a brother gifted in cheerfulness and encouragement. Even though he could not see, he saw the best in me. Even though he could not see, he taught me to see the world with faith and hope. I know that if we judged him according to the standards of this world, he would be a nobody. But to me, he was truly somebody I looked up to. I miss him dearly. This brother of mine has the one and the same Spirit as I do, as you do. The same Spirit that indwells every one of us is what makes all of us equally spiritual, equally valuable, and equally deserving of respect. So why inclusion? Because God designed every member of His church to be equally valuable. The one Spirit dwells in each of us, giving us gifts. It is He who makes us all valuable and deserving of inclusion. So missional churches must change their mental models. When we interact with people with disabilities, we need to look beyond their disabilities. The responsibility of missional Christians is to get to know them deeply, to search out whatever gift the Holy Spirit has given them. But this searching out of the Spirit's gift is hard work. It is heart work. But at the end of the day, missional churches do that for every believer, but especially for people with disabilities. Indeed, the Spirit works in everyone, and our duty as fellow believers is to find those gifts and fan them into flame. That is how inclusion looks like. proactive, empathetic, encouraging. So we have seen that we include because God designed every member of His church to be equally valuable. Let's now look at a second reason for why we include as we read verses 12 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 20. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So in verses 12 to 20, Paul introduces a new way to think about the church. He describes the church like a body. And his reason for introducing this metaphor, this way of thinking about the church, is because he wants to emphasize the church's diversity in unity. Let me say that again. Paul wants to emphasize the church's diversity in unity. That is why in verse 12 he says, the body is one and has many members. And then he continues to say, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. And then following this in verse 14, he says, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And finally in verse 20, he says, there are many parts, yet one body. In these verses, Paul keeps on playing with the words one and many, many and one. Paul is being relentless at pointing out that the church is both one and many. Indeed, the church is one. Paul says in verse 13 that in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body and we all were made to drink of one Spirit. He's reminding us that through baptism and through the drinking of the wine at the Lord's Supper, the Spirit unites us into one church. But at the same time, Paul is also eager to remind us that the church is many. The church is made up of varied individuals. The church is diversity in unity. That is God's design for the church. We are not to be clones of one another or photocopies of each other. God did not design His church for everyone to look alike. You see, Paul himself preempts this way of thinking. He cuts off this way of thinking in verses 15 to 19. He tells the foot not to wish to be a hand. He tells the ear not to wish to be an eye. In fact, if the whole body were an eye, Paul says, how can the body hear? And if the whole body were a ear, how could the whole body smell? But rather, God has chosen to design His wonderful creation of the church with an incredible variety and diversity. For as Paul says in verse 18, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. So why inclusion? We include because God designed His church to be diverse. Missional churches are diverse churches. Therefore, my friends, we must not fall into the mistake of only championing one kind of disciple or only one kind of discipleship. Although we all follow Jesus in His self-sacrificial way of the cross, but the way that each one of us will walk that path will look different from person to person. We must not be tempted to treat inclusion as fitting everyone into the same mold, into making everyone into a ear or everyone into an eye. You see, one of the main reasons why people with disabilities find it challenging to be included into the church is because the rest of us demand that they fit in. They must sing when we sing. They must sit down when we sit down. We demand that they sing in tune with us. But God is more concerned that we are in tune with them. You see, missional churches do not mistake uniformity for unity. Missional churches do not confuse conformity with cohesion. I was reminded of this when we were interviewing people with disabilities for our book, Call Me By Name, which tells the stories of Christians with disabilities. As a book, we wanted people with disabilities to tell us their stories. But my co-editor, Anne, reminded me that not everyone could tell their stories in words. Indeed, we had one young man, Sijin, who has Down syndrome, who preferred to draw. And so, for his chapter, we let Sijin draw a picture to represent his faith. And here it is. The three small figures on your left represent the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, while the other figures represent how God protects Sijin's family. You see, Sijin clearly has complex theological thoughts. However, if I had insisted that he tell me his thoughts rather than draw his thoughts, I would have completely missed his worship. So likewise, would we let someone like Sijin draw during our worship services rather than sing? For since God designed his church to be diverse, the rest of us must be the ones who accept differences in worship so that we can include people like this young man in church. So we include because God designed his church to be diverse. Now let us look at one final reason for inclusion in verses 21 to 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 to 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. This passage that I just read continues the pattern of Paul pretending that the parts of the body can talk. In the previous passage, verses 12 to 20, the body parts were hoping to be other body parts. The foot wanted to be a hand, the ear wanted to be an eye. But in this passage, the body parts are talking to one another, but now they are excluding one another. They are telling each other in verse 21, I have no need of you. So my friends, do we adopt the same attitude towards people with disabilities? Although scripture tells us that they too are people gifted by the Holy Spirit, do we only see their so-called disabilities and so think in our heads, I have no need of you? Because if so, we need to repent. For Paul tells us that in the topsy-turvy world of God's kingdom, God's design for the missional church is the opposite. Paul reminds us in verses 22 to 23 that those members of the body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. Those members that we think less honorable, they are to be treated with greater honor. You see, although God created every person to be equal in value, He did not create every person to be identical. Some people may appear to be weaker or less honorable, but God created them so that those of us who appear to be stronger may care for them, honor them, and recognize that they too are indispensable to our community. As Paul reminds us, God does this so that there may be no division in the body, but rather that the members may have the same care for one another. God created us different so that the missional church can practice mutual hospitality within the body of Christ. God wants able-bodied people to care for people with disabilities, but God wants people with disabilities to also care for able-bodied people. It is only in this way that we all can attain to God's design for the missional church, which Paul states so beautifully in verse 26, where he says, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." You see, this world tells us that we must all be independent. The Bible, however, tells us that independence is not God's goal. God's goal is for the missional church to be interdependent on one another, growing together, serving each other, eagerly using the gifts that the Spirit has given to us to build one another up. We include people with disabilities because God designed His church to care for one another. So some of us may have disabilities, some of us may have weaker, and that's okay. I myself have a hand disability that prevents me from grasping things properly. My disability gives my wife an opportunity to open bottles for me, to show love for her hubby. And my wife, in turn, has her own weaknesses, and I help her in those. Our weaknesses do not make our marriage weaker. Rather, our weaknesses give my wife and I opportunities to love and care for one another, thus making our marriage stronger. As we care for one another in light of each other's weaknesses, we practice inclusion, strengthening our marriage. And it is the same way for the missional church. We include people with disabilities because God designed His church to care for one another. Their so-called disabilities do not weaken the church, but strengthen it. I'm reminded of how my deaf friend tells me that because she can't hear, she's able to see and sense people's feelings and emotions more clearly, and so love them more fully. I'm reminded of how my friend with a physical disability has inspired many of the young people in his church through his own story of perseverance. I'm reminded of my friend with cerebral palsy, whose family members tell us that it is because of him, because of caring for him, that their family has grown more united and more loving. People with disabilities do not disable the church. Rather, they complete us, unite us, enable us to be the church that God wants us to be. The only church that is truly disabled is the one that excludes. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, at the beginning of this sermon, I mentioned that the missional church is an inclusive church. The missional church is an inclusive church. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we saw that the missional church is one that values every member, is one that treasures the church's diversity, and is one that exercises care for each and every one within its community. Missional churches do not send out missionaries and then kick off their shoes and sit back and relax. Missional churches live out missions every day with a gospel of welcome and hospitality. For missional churches know that when Jesus was willingly crucified upon the cross for us, his arms were not just outstretched in sacrifice, his arms were outstretched in welcome. Jesus calls out to all prodigal sons and daughters with disabilities and without disabilities, saying, repent and return to your Father's embrace. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to learn about the kind of missional church that you have chosen to save us into. A missional church that is full of color and diversity, a body of variety, of energy, of different flavors, and not a monotone and boring church. But as your word has shown us, this diversity requires us to practice the godly discipline of inclusion and hospitality, not just to people with disabilities, but to every person. Therefore, our Father, we ask you through the one Spirit that unites us all, form us into an inclusive people, just like our Lord Jesus, who welcomed all peoples to himself upon the cross. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you.